1 Samuel chapter number 1, and let's begin at verse number 1. Now, there was a certain man of Ramathaim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zerph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, and Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship, to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and to her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Amen. And tonight, I just want to preach for a little while tonight about I just want revival. Amen. I just want revival. God, we love you. We love you. We're so indebted to you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit, for your help today. We thank you, God, for being amongst us and with us here tonight. I pray, God, that you would bless this word. God, that you would open up our hearts unto you, and that we would help God, help us to understand the purpose, the reason for it, but to go forth in Jesus' name. Lord, and we give you praise and glory, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated here tonight. Praise God. Amen. In the Bible, we see oftentimes that there are genealogies that are kept throughout, even in the book of 1 Chronicles. It gets, I won't say redundant, because repetitive is not really the word for it, in that different families are named, but it does go through over and over again that so-and-so begets so-and-so, who begets so-and-so, who begets so-and-so, and they beget so-and-so, who begets so-and-so, and on and on and on, chapter after chapter after chapter. But it does have its unique place. Through these genealogies and such like that, and the Jews were very, very much into keeping genealogies and being able to keep, you know, who beget so-and-so, and they fall back on that for the heritage and for the lineage of the bloodline. And so we do gain a lot from that. We can gain from that some understanding of different things and such. And one of those, we would see that if we went back to the lineage of Joseph, obviously Joseph came from the lineage that would be of Jacob or Israel, and Jacob came from Isaac. Isaac came from Moses, or Isaac came from Abraham. And I was going backwards. I was thinking, whoa, wait a second, where am I going? But we know that these came from Abraham. And we know that Joseph had, or that Jacob had 12 sons, which would become to be known as the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And each of them had their purpose and their plan, but there was one that was a part of those 12 that was by the name of Levi, and Levi was of the priesthood. And all of the other tribes were given different inheritances, but the Levites were not given inheritance, for their inheritance was of the Lord. But being the priest, we know that Levi had 3 sons. These 3 sons were the names of Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And the Bible teaches us that these 3 sons had jobs, duties, obligations, responsibilities concerning the temple or the tabernacle. They were not just responsible for the tabernacle. They were responsible in different areas for different parts of sacrifice. In Numbers chapter number 3, the Bible gives the charge as to what each of those families would be put in charge of. And I'm not going to really get into Gershon or Merari, but when the Bible teaches us that when the cloud or the pillar of fire would begin to move, that these three families, not just the three brothers, but their entire families were given the responsibility to pack up, to move, and to get the tabernacle ready for moving. And so Gershon and his family would do their part. Merari and his family would do their part. But the sons of Kohath had a special part. And the Kohathites were of the family that was going into the inner sanctuary, into the holy place, and into the holies of holies. And as a matter of fact, not all of the Kohathites were able to go into that holy place at that time, but certain ones were. And they would go in and they would prepare things, and when they would get it all covered up, then the rest of the Kohathites would come through, and they would put the staves through the ringlets there, and would bear the Ark of the Covenant, would bear the altar of incense and the candlesticks, and those things would bear them upon their shoulders and would carry them out. They were appointed their service to carry these things to wherever that the glory of God would stop. Now, in the book of Numbers, chapter number 7, the Bible says that Moses took the wagons and the oxen that he had got, and he gave these wagons and oxen unto the Levites. Two wagons, four oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon according to their service, four wagons and eight oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari according unto their service, unto the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave no carts, and he gave no oxen, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear these things upon their shoulders. Amen. No cart for the Ark of the Covenant. No cart for the altar of incense. No cart for the seven golden candlesticks. No cart for the table of showbread. These were the things that were to be put, the staves inserted into the rings, and then they were to be borne upon the shoulders of the Kohathites. And some would feel that the Kohathites had been blighted, and that they had been given, they had been looked over, and that Gershon and Merari had carts and they had oxen and to carry the weight. But there was a purpose and a reason for these things. And as we began to follow the genealogy of the Kohathites down through time, we would see that in 1 Chronicles chapter number 6, verse number 1, the sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And then we skip on down to verse number 22, and the sons of Kohath were Aminadab his sons, Korah his sons, Aser his son, Elkanah his son. Amen. And so we see that Elkanah was of the tribe of Levi, that he was of the tribe of the Kohathites, and that it was Elkanah at some point in time could have been the one that was hoisting one of those precious holy pieces of furniture upon his shoulder. It was something that Merari nor his descendants would ever feel the weight of. It was something that Gershon would never experience. He would never experience what the weight of that Ark of the Covenant or the weight of the altar of incense was. They had their things. They had their coverings, their tapestries and altars of sacrifice and such that they were able to put up on carts, and they were able to drive the oxen and to move them out. But the sons of Kohath would be the ones that would bear these things and feel the weight of these things upon their shoulders. It became to a place that history would tell us that was the desire place to be of the Kohathites, a place that nobody got to go into, and nobody got to see these things and experience these things. Nobody got to feel the weight of these things, and it was kind of the elite place of all of this. And this is where Elkanah was. And so the time comes that Elkanah takes his wife Hannah to the temple now to go pray. And there they are for their period of time. And here is Hannah and here is Peninnah, his two wives. And he gives unto Peninnah and to her sons and to her daughters a worthy portion to offer sacrifice. But unto Hannah he gives a double portion because that he loves her and she has had no children. And the Bible says that the Lord had shut up her womb. And we know that Peninnah would make fun of her, that Peninnah would sneer and joust at her and say, you know, obviously, you know, look at me, I've got the kids, I've got the sons, I've got the daughters, and whatever that she would use to just kind of poke fun of Hannah and just making her look like she was the dominant one or the better one. And here was Hannah taking the joking, taking the jesting, taking the being made fun of, and such the crudeness that Peninnah would have. And we see that Hannah would go into the temple and she would begin to weep and begin to pray. And she would cry and cry and cry. And jumping a little bit ahead of myself, we would see that the priest Eli would come and he would accuse her of being drunk. And she said, Lex, she said, I'm not drunk. She said, I just want a child. I want a man child. And if God would give me a man child, then I would give him back unto God at the appointed day. And so here is just a man for you. And we see that Elkanah's looking around and he's done his duty and given unto Peninnah and her children. But to Hannah, he's like, I don't understand what the problem is. You understand that I love you. And you understand I have given you a double portion. I have given you more than I gave Peninnah and all of her children. I have heaped my praise and my blessing. I have bountifully upon you, and you ought to understand this. And then he makes this statement as he asks her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat and why is your heart grieved? And then he asked her this, am I not better than 10 sons? If Peninnah had 10 sons and yet 10 daughters, am I not better to you than 10 sons? And we would know that Hannah would pour out her heart unto Elkanah and just say, I just want a child. You've been good to me. You have blessed me through the years. You have heaped out your blessing unto me. You have given me double portions of everything that you gave unto Peninnah. I cannot fault you for what you have done for me. I cannot fault you due to the blessings that you have bestowed upon me. I cannot fault you for being forgetful of me. I cannot fault you for giving me something less than you've given everybody else. As a matter of fact, you have given more unto me. You have been better to me than you have been to others. I just simply want a child. I just wonder, speaking from a man's point of view, if Elkanah could really understand this, and that Elkanah would probably look at Hannah and thinking to himself, does she really understand exactly what she's got? I'm not just a son of Levi. I'm not just of the tribe of Jacob. I'm not just of the tribe of Israel. I'm not one of Joseph's children. I'm not even one of Judah's children. I'm not any of those. Amen. I am a Levite. I am of the tribe, not just of Levi, not just of those, but of the tribe of the Kohathites. I am the one that is able to go in. My family, we were the ones that were able to go in and to bear the Ark of the Covenant upon our shoulders. God chose us to feel the weight and to feel the full responsibility of it. Hannah, do you not understand that I felt the weight of the
ten laws, amen, of the two tables of stone, amen, borne upon our shoulders. My grandpa could have been one of those that was carrying that Ark of the Covenant. Do you not understand, amen, that God's provision, amen, was in that Ark, in the pot of manna that was there. We, my family, were the ones that got to carry that. And do you not understand that in that Ark, there was Aaron's rod that budded, and it was proof of God's miraculous power. Mary never, amen, felt that. And the others, they never, Gershon never felt that. But my family, we were able to bear that. Upon, I've got stories that I can tell you, Hannah. I've got experiences that I can go back. Amen. Grandpa's got testimonies. Uncles, amen, have got testimonies of what we have felt and what we have experienced. Do you not understand, Hannah? Amen. We may not have been of the tribe of Judah. Amen. The worshipers and the praisers. But we bear the responsibility, the weight of worship in the altar of incense upon our shoulders. We felt the weight of that. We felt the power in that. Hannah, we were the ones that got to carry the golden candlesticks. Amen. Grandpa's got stories of that. We all got stories going back. It's my lineage. It's my bloodline of all that we have been able to experience. Hannah, do you not understand? Am I not better than 10 sons? And Hannah just looks at him and says, oh, you've been good. And I've heard all of the stories. And I've heard the miraculous stories of old. And I've heard all about the weight and the carrying of all of these things. And I just want you to know, Elkanah, that I feel privileged to be a part of this family. I feel privileged that you have chosen me. But Elkanah, there's just one thing yet that I desire. I want revival. I want a son. I don't want just testimonies of years gone by. I don't want to just speak of the glory that was in the old days. I don't want to just speak of the glory that was upon the tabernacle back then. I want a son. I want revival.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wonder how many hours that we could sit around and we could take. I wonder how many hours that we could burn up of talking about the blessings of yesteryear. What about we could start of where that God has brought us from? Every one of us have got a testimony of where God brought us from. Amen. You were messed up in a life of sin. You were hooked on drugs and alcohol. You were living a life that was a shameful life. Amen. You didn't have anything to hope for. You had a lot to hope for, but nothing really, amen, to dream about. Amen. It felt like your life was headed downhill on an extremely fast roller coaster with no brakes. Amen. The Bible says, you who were dead in sins and in trespasses, but God came into your life. God interrupted your life. Somehow or another, God got you into the church. Somehow or another, God invited to an altar. Can you remember the day that God filled you with the Holy Ghost and you began to speak with other tongues? Do you remember the testimony that you had of the euphoric feeling? Amen. When it was all said and done, how clean and beautiful you felt. We got testimonies of going down into the water and coming up clean. We got testimonies of coming up, feeling the old life washed away. All the burdens and all the sins that was upon us are gone. I remember going down in an old metal baptistry tank. Amen. Water so freezing cold we had stammering lips. Amen. By the time we got into it real good and proper. But when we came up, there was such a warm feeling. And the Holy Ghost was moving. And I can tell you that there was probably eight of us that got
got baptized that night. What a wondrous and a glorious testimony that 10 received the Holy Ghost in one night. 8 got baptized just a couple of nights later. What a glorious testimony. I'm thankful for those testimonies, but I yet want to see revival. I want to see somebody else filled with the Holy Ghost. Want to see somebody else baptized in the name of Jesus. Want to see somebody else's life set free and changed forever.
Praise God. Amen. We could take a long time. We could walk down the avenue of memory, and we could begin to reminisce of the miracles that we have seen. How about the financial miracles of when there was no money in the bank, but God reached down somehow, some way, and changed all of that. Amen. When you put your last dollar in the offering plate, believing by faith that God was going to do it, and God did do it. And what a testimony that you had. Amen. When your job was in jeopardy and it seemed like everything was going to fall apart, but the hand of God just reached down and began to still the troubled waters of your life. Hallelujah. What about the testimonies of the times that you saw your children filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What about the testimonies, amen, that you have as God began to bless your life and God took your rags and began to turn them into riches? Amen. And you're not working where you used to be working. Amen. God has blessed you and helped you, and you're making twice as much, three times as much as you used to make. Amen. We've got a lot of testimonies of where God has brought us from. But I want to know, is there that intense desire that is yet down in the womb of the church that says, I still want revival. I still got family that needs the Holy Ghost. I still got friends that need the Holy Ghost. I've got co-workers that need the Holy Ghost. There's people in this city that need the Holy Ghost. People in this county that need the Holy Ghost. Oh God, oh God, give us revival. We are looking at a woman who could not be content with just her lineage. She could not be content with just saying who she was. She was not going to be content by just saying, oh, I'm apostolic, I'm Pentecostal. She's not going to be content with saying, I received the Holy Ghost back January the 26th of 1990. Wasn't going to be content with that. There was something about her that said, I want children. I want children. Amen. And she had a child. She had a child. As a matter of fact, if you were to go back and begin to look at the names of Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Samson, Samuel, John the Baptist. These are great men. We could talk about stories concerning Isaac. We could talk a lot about Joseph. We could talk about the power that was prevalent with Samson, the prophet Samuel, and we could talk about the forerunner, John the Baptist. But you know what all of those have in common? They had a mother that was barren. They had a mother that was barren. As a matter of fact, it would be Rebecca that would look at Isaac and she would tell Isaac, or I'm sorry, it was Rachel that looked at Jacob. And Rachel looked at Jacob. I can just see as she grabbed him by the lapels of his coat and she looked down deep into his eyes and maybe shook him a little bit. And she cried out almost in agony. She said, give me children lest I die. There was a deep down desire with inside of her that she had to have children. Life on her own was not enough. Life with Jacob was not enough. Living in the shadow of Leah. Amen.
was not enough. Having all of these nieces and nephews were never going to be enough. It wasn't just good to hear about the blessings of somebody else. It wasn't just good to hear that Leah was pregnant again. It wasn't just good to hear that everybody else was having revival and she wasn't. It was something that came over her that drove her to a place of desperation, and she cried out, "Give me children, lest I die." That same spirit was a hold of Hannah. Amen. And Hannah went back to the altar year after year. She pushed away plate after plate, and she said, "These things are not important. It's not important to have the illustrious lineage. I want a child. I want revival." New Life Tabernacle, that's got to be our cry. That's got to be our burden. That's got to be our passion. I've got to have children. We've got to have more in the altars. More seek of the Holy Ghost. I want revival.
Let's stand. And so my prayer is going to be, I got to have revival. I just want revival. I just want revival. Brother Worth, just yesterday, I was in here praying. I was thanking God for everything that you've done. This place. Thanking God for every Bible study that you taught. Thanking God for every soul that prayed through to the Holy Ghost. For every soul that you baptized. Yes. In yes. Jesus' name. Very thankful for you. Very, very thankful. But the stories of yesteryear are not going to be sufficient. They're not going to be good enough for me. I'm thankful. You know what that does? That gives me hope. That gives me passion, a desire. But I got to see revival. I got to see revival. We got to have revival. And I pray that it would get a hold of you. Amen. I pray that it would not just, that you would not just be content just because you're in the church. I pray that I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm glad that you're here. But I don't want you to have this content spirit of, you know what, I'm here, my family is here, and that's good enough. That's good enough. I want it to get all over you. I want you to understand some things. I could preach for a long time, but I'm not. Amen. But God has called us to be ambassadors. We are a representation of the kingdom of God. And not just ambassadors, but the ministry of reconciliation has been committed unto us. In other words, it's our responsibility to hoist some things on our shoulders. It's our responsibility to carry law and worship and miracle power. It's our responsibility to carry the revelation of the oneness of God. It's our responsibility to carry these things. Amen. Worship and all of the rest of these things. Oh, but there's got to be a passion that is within us. The Bible said he came to his own and his own received him not. Amen. I want you to know that Jesus Christ did not come to this world so that he could understand how we feel when we are tempted by sin. He came to this world, amen, to show us how he feels about us. Amen. And that he would take the sins of this world upon him for you and for me, and he did it all because he loved us. He said, "I'm going to shoulder this. I'm going to make a way." And every one of us and all of those that stood that day looked at him as he ascended Mount Calvary and watched as they suspended him between heaven and earth, and he did it because of his love of humanity, wanting to save every single soul. Let that burden and let that passion get inside of us. Oh, it ought to be hard, amen, to push away
away the plate at least once a week and say, God, I just want revival. It ought not to be hard to find a place to pray and to get down and begin to weep over souls that are not being wept over, as we begin to show our emotion unto God and say, God, I just want revival. I just want revival. Let it be the yearning. Let it be the birthing pain as we cry out, I just want revival. Do you have parents that are needing to be saved? Do you have children that are needing to be saved? Do you have relatives that are needing to be saved? What are you doing about it? Amen. Do you have a Hannah spirit of going to the temple and say, God, I want revival. I want revival. I want revival. Amen. Are there friends that you have that needs to be saved? Are you content and just saying, oh, you know what? I'm fine. I'm fine. And you feel fine. Feel fine making fun of everybody else who weeping and crying. We got time for this. We got time for this. We got time to come to an altar. We got time to find a place to pour our hearts out unto God and say, oh God, I just want revival. God, I want you to know that I'm hungry for revival. I want you to hear it from my mouth. I want you to read it on my lips. I want you to feel it out of my heartbeat. I want you to understand, God, I'm interested in what you're interested in. God, you've been good to me. You've blessed me. You've helped me. But I want revival.